The reason I'm doing this now is because if you learn this before me and then I teach it, you're going to have to relearn it. At least some of you will have to. So I told it to you last night that today's shiur I'm going to give at the beginning rather than at the end. Same half hour, I'm not taking more than half an hour every time, maybe even less. I just want to set up what follows. Our focus, at least in the foreseeable future, is on neshama. The other half of Chassidus, Achas Hashem, is off the table. Maybe we'll do it in the morning, maybe we won't do it in the morning, but we're certainly not doing it at night. We're focusing on neshama. So I just want to tell you this. Page Reish and Reish Aleph is like 15 or 20 lines. It's the abbreviated version of what you have on Kuf Yutes, and then on Kuf Chof Aleph, and then Kuf Chof Beis, and then Kuf Chof Gimel, and then Kuf Chof Daled, and then Kuf Chof Hei. I am suggesting that you don't learn the Maimed of Yoshid unless you're learning quickly and you got it good. In other words, if you feel like we're going too slow, that's for whom the Az Yoshid is. And you don't have to learn the whole Maimed, just learn the pieces that I didn't cross out, which is about 3.5 pages. So after you do Reish and Reish Aleph, you should move straight to 116, which is a continuation of this topic. And then after that, of course, at the end, there's another Sikhe, which is page 798, and then it's page 800, which is also wonderful. And I am hoping to teach both of them to us, besides for the abbreviated Maimer. What I'm going to do right now, basically, is set you up, tell you what's going to happen. You know, the Medrash says, right, there's a number of Gemaras, there's a number of Medrashim, and of course they're all brought in Chassidus. But how many things came first in the beginning of creation? In the Gemara Masechet Pesachim, there were 7 things that were created first, 5 things that were created first. There's so many different opinions about what was created first. But one of the Maamar Chazal, which of course is mentioned in Rashi at the beginning of Bereishis, is that there's Beis Reishis. Even though in other places you'll have 5 things or 7 things that were created, Kedem Lo'elam, there are 2 Reishis, 2 things that come before everything. Bereishis is an acronym for Beis Reishis, 2 things that are called Reishis. They're the reason why Baro Lekim Es Hashemayim Ves Ha'aretz, the Eibishter created the world, Bishvil Beis Reishis, for these 2 things which are called Reishis, and Teira is called Reishis, like I said, the Hashem Kanoni Reishis Da'ak Ken Palom Yoz, and Yisrael is called Reishis, like I said, Kedish Yisrael Ha'avaya Reishis, Reishis Tavuas. So Yidden and Teira are called Reishis. So the first 2 entities that Kvayochol enter into the thought of Atmos Ein Sof, which are the basis for the whole creation, are Teira and Neshames Yisrael. Okay, so we reduced everything that exists to 2. Teira and Neshames Yisrael are Kodmo Lo'elam. Now comes the question. Of these 2, which comes first and which comes second? Me, Kodmo Lo'elam. So there's the Talmud of Eliyahu, there's the Sikha and the Rebbe that I printed here, where the Rebbe points out that Eliyahu has the distinction of being both a Malach and a person, which is why he's a unique position to answer this question. Mi kodem labi, does Teda come before Yid? No, the Yidna come before Teda. And his answer is that Yidna come before Teda. What's the raya that Yidna come before Teda? That Teda speaks to Yidna. Dabar ab ne'isol, tzavet b'ne'isol, emir ab ne'isol. Since the Teda speaks to Yidna, so the Spade is speaking to the Jewish people, so the Jewish people have to be there before the Teda for the Teda to be interested in speaking to them. This is b'kitze nimrat, what the Medrash is. Now what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about the philosophy of the soul. Okay, and basically the way to understand this is as follows. When we talk about Torah, there are 2 Mesholim. And we talk about Neshames Yisrael, there are also 2 Mesholim. But the Mesholim are very, very different. The 2 Mesholim we use to understand Torah are, number 1, Torah Oir, Torah is Hashem's light. And number 2, that Torah is Chochmah. Torah is the Eibishter's wisdom. Now there's a difference between light and a source, and wisdom and a wise. People understand this. Because if you've learned a little Chassidus even, you know 2 things about light. Number 1, the light is a perfect reflection of the source. Number 2, light comes from the source automatically. Seichel, ideas, are not a perfect reflection of the intellectual who radiates them, because it's one idea at a time, number 1. And ideas don't come out of intellectual by themselves, he has to give them to you. So when you compare Torah to Oyer, and you compare Torah to Chochmah, or if you're a person with a little background in Chassidus, you compare Teda to Shefa, because that's the difference between the two things. The metaphor of Teda being like Oyer and the metaphor of Teda being like Chochma, which is alternatively called Shefa, are different. Oyer reflects the Eibishter completely, and it comes automatically. Chochma does not reflect the Chochma completely, and it has to be given with that Hashpa. It doesn't come by itself.
Isn't there a lot of issues with calling it Shefa?
What is your question?
I don't remember the entire Shir, right?
Yeah, but the Shir was about the Eidin Sof, not about Teda.
Perhaps.
Right? The Shir was about Eidin Sof. Why? By Eid, we use the word Eid, not Shefa. We're talking about Teda now, not about Eid.
I'm sorry, that was a...
So there's a very big difference between the Mashal of Oyer and the Mashal of Chochma. But there are a number of things that Oyer and Chochma have in common. The obvious thing that they have in common is when you look at light, you know its source. When you study ideas, you recognize that they come from an intellectual. Ideas reflect the creator of those ideas. And there is a closeness, there's a connection between the light and the source. There is a connection between the ideas and the intellectual who said them. It's brought in Chassidus. I think that Rebbe's father writes about this, that a person's personality is in his Chochmah. If you have a certain nature, your intellectual ideas, even though intellectual ideas are supposed to be cold and dispersional and so on and so forth, they still reflect your personality. In the Tanya that we're learning these days about Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, it's brought that Beis Hillel's nature of Chesed makes him have ideas that are neite klape chesed. Beis Shammai's nature of gevura makes him come up with ideas that are neite klape gevura. How are the ideas objective? How are the ideas true? If the personality gets involved, it's a long story, but it's ein kan amokim, not at the time. The point is that when you talk about these two metaphors, the marshal of light coming from a source and ideas coming from an intellectual, what they share is when you look at the light, you know the source. When you look at the ideas, you know they came from a smart guy. And the nimshal is Teda. Teda comes from Hashem, bederech eir. Teda comes from Hashem in the system, in the form of light. That means the Teda reveals Hashem in a very, very direct way. When a person learns Teda, now obviously this is not such a simple thing. You and I learning a Mishnah or a Gemara don't necessarily hear in every word of the Mishnah Atma Saints off, but when a person is learning Teda, in the Teda the Eibishter is revealed. The Eibishter is revealed both as a Mo'er for Oed, as a source for light, and certainly the Eibishter is revealed as a Chochmah for Chochmah. The Eibishter's wisdom reflects the fact that the Eibishter is wise. So, Torah reveals the Eibishter. Torah reveals that the Eibishter gave it. That's the upside. When a person learns Torah and the Torah, they have Hashem in a revealed way. What's the downside? Light that comes from a source is only a reflection. When you have sunlight, you have everything that the sun has, and nothing of what the sun itself is. Oyer is bederech ha'ora, which means to say everything the source is reflected in the light, but none of the essence, none of the sun itself, none of the etzem, none of the mo'er, none of the source itself is found in the light. So Torah may reveal the Eibishter. I have to answer you briefly because I don't have time to give it to you at length. In physics, the way we understand the sun, what I'm saying is untrue. Because according to what we understand the sun in physics, it's a finite ball that's made up of hydrogen that's kept together because of pressure, because of gravity, and that's why it creates what's called fusion. And when the fusion is created, energy is released, that's why we have light of the sun. In other words, the sun burns out, the sun is finite. The Torah's concept of the sun is very different. I have ways of explaining how there's not a contradiction, it's different dimensions, but I don't have time. So for the purpose of, you want to talk to me about it, but not during Shiur, after Shiur. What's important to appreciate is that the metaphor of sun that we talk about is not the physics sun, which is hydrogen turning into helium and what's going to happen, right? When the hydrogen burns out, the sun is going to collapse, right? And then there's going to be denser elements, and it's going to expand again, and it's collapse again until it blows up. There's a whole explanation of what happens to a star. A pitoida, this doesn't happen. And again, I have thoughts, just thoughts, how there's not necessarily a contradiction between the two. When Torah talks about Moed, the example of Moed, which works, is your face. If more people look at your face, does your face melt faster? It's a question. Why not? Because they're taking, quote, only light. If more pictures are taken of you, and fewer pictures taken of him, you don't deteriorate. Because it's only a reflection. That's how we understand the idea of Eid. It's only a reflection. It's not a piece of the sun radiating out of the sun. It's a reflection of what the sun is. A longer explanation of this is not in the framework of this. Later in this year, by the way, we should go back to this and talk about Eid at length. And we start talking about Eid itself, but I don't know how long that's going to be. In the morning classes, not in the night classes. But as it sounds right, that doesn't have to suffice. So the upside of Oyer and the upside of Seichel is it reveals where it comes from. The downside of Oyer, the downside of Seichel is that in Oyer you have nothing of the Moed, and in Seichel you have nothing of the Maskel. Now, what's the other Mashal? Neshamas Yisrael. And Neshamas Yisrael, again, he had two Mishalim. What are the two Mishalim for Neshamas Yisrael? Mashal number one, that the Jewish people are Hashem's children. And Mashal number two, huh? No. What's the second marshal? They were Hashem's chosen ones. Nivcharim. Marshal number one, they were Hashem's children. And marshal number two were Hashem's chosen ones. And again, there's a big difference, or a significant difference, a substantial difference, between the marshal of saying we're the Eibishter's children, and the marshal that we're saying that the Eibishter chose us. And the concept of choice, which I may incorporate into the syllabus a little bit later, is that he chooses our goof, which has no milus, which is Deimel Chumriyuse, the goof Yimas Eilun, the difference in a Jewish goof and a non-Jewish goof is impossible to see. When you call Yidden Eibishter's children, it goes under Neshama. When you call the Yidden Eibishter's chosen ones, it goes under goof. And for reasons that we can't get into at the moment, the idea that we're chosen is actually hard in the fact of Eibishter's children. But, what do we know about the relationship between children and parents? Huh? The relationship between children and parents is the exact opposite of the relationship between light and a source. How? The definition of what parents give children, the way I like to say it is parents give children the same thing their parents gave them. They give, every parent gives into his child his very essence. It's called in Hasidus, Hashpo Atzmis, a tipa, Hashpo Atzmis, their very, very essence. What is the very essence of a human being, psychologically, spiritually? What's the essence of a person on an experienced level? The essence of it, of a child on the experienced level, is that he belongs to himself and not to his father and not to his mother. That the deepest thing our parents give us is we should be separate from them. The deepest things our parents got from their parents is they should be separate from them. One of the deepest illnesses, psychological and mental illnesses, that can exist in a child, as the expression is, if he grows up holding onto his mother's apron and never lets go. Children were designed to become separate entities, to become like their parents. Not to be connected to their parents, to become copies of their parents. But, in becoming copies of their parents, the whole emphasis is that they're separate. That they're not continuing what their parents are in an obvious way. To the contrary, children separate from their parents, right? We go through a period of rebellion. We don't necessarily have to be rebellious. But the definition of a healthy adult is that his choices are not his father's choices and not his mother's choices. They're his own choices. Because identity, his identity is not his father's identity. It's not his mother's identity. It's his own identity. And of course, what's the irony here? What's the thing about that makes it all interesting? Where do you get your separateness from your parents? And the answer is, from the essence of your parents. Because the essence of your parents is their separateness from their parents. All the way back to the first set of parents, which is Adam and Chava. And Adam and Chava were created by the Eibishter himself. And just like the Eibishter is independent, the Eibishter has free will. The Eibishter listens to nobody, nothing does what he wants. The Eibishter gave into Adam and Chava his essence. And therefore, they are free to be separate from him. Which is, of course, why we find, as a fact of life, children don't have to necessarily go in the ways of their parents. On occasion, children go in a very different direction, perhaps even in a wrong direction. But they have that freedom. So children, on the one hand, are much more deeply connected to parents than light is to a source. Why? Because when light reflects the source, it doesn't have the source inside of itself, just a reflection, just a ray. But in light, you always see the source. Because the very nature of light, it has to be close to the source, it has to reflect the source. You separate the light from the source, it disappears. Children seem separate from their parents, but the reason children seem separate from their parents is because the parents' essence is in them. And therefore, they have the same essence the parents have to be separate from their parents. And therefore, when you think about the juxtaposition of Torah versus Neshamas Yisrael, and you say Torah Oyer, Torah is Hashem's light, and you say Torah is Eibishtes Chochma Klayoch, and Yidna Hashem's children, and Yidna Hashem's chosen ones, the point is Yidna are designed to have their Eibishtes himself inside themselves. But what does it mean that you have the Eibishtes himself inside yourself? That you're separate from the Eibishtes, you have your own free will. And even on a deeper level, and again, I don't have time right now to go into this, Barichis, even on a deeper level, this is the Pshat Atav HaChatana. The idea that Hashem chose us makes us even more separate than the idea to become the Eibishtes' children. Because when you're a child of a father, you're taka separate from your father, but you have the same personality at least. That's how it is. Children and parents have similar personalities. It's true that when children and parents have separate personalities, the child's personality is not his father's personality, it's his. If a father gives a child a gift, the father's a talented musician, and the child's a talented musician, you're not going to say there's one talent. There's two separate talents. There's the father's talent, and how the child has this talent on his own. He got it from his parent. He got it from his parent in such a way that he's a tzias bifnei atzmei. Because children and parents have a lot in common. When you say you choose, the meaning of choice is you're not choosing something because of its milus. You're choosing something because you want it. The lashon is zidak mitad abecher v'leiv mitad anivcher klal. In other words, Hashem chose the part of us. Where does bechira chavches apply? The part of us has no milus, which is the goof. So the goof is even more separate from the Eibishter. So in both mishalim, when you use the mashal of teira, you use the mashal of er, and you use the mashal of chokhmah, and you say Teira is Hashem's light, and you say Teira is Hashem's wisdom, what's the emphasis? That you look at the Teira, you see Hashem. Look at the Chochm Beibish, you see the Eibishter Chochm. As opposed to, when you talk about Neshamas Yisrael, and you say that Neshamas Yisrael are Eibishter's children, and on a deeper level still, Neshamas Yisrael are the Eibishter's chosen ones, what's the whole point? The Eibishter puts his very essence into us. But what is the very essence that he puts into us that we're separate from him? No. So who's higher, who's lower? Teir and Shamas Yisrael. Huh? Bechit Saini is, when you look at it superficially, Teir reflects the Eibishter, Chochma reflects the Eibishter's Chochma. Teir has to be Dovok in the Eibishter. Like light has to be attached to a source, it's separate light from its source, it can't exist. Teira reflects the Eibishter in an overt way, so Teira is closer to the Eibishter in a state of Gili. A Yid could rebel against the Eibishter. A Yid could, Rachman al-Assan, choose to assimilate. A Yid could choose to live in a way that's not consistent with the lesson of his father, because his father gave him the ability to be his own person and to go against his father. But the flip side of that coin is that inside of the Jew, you don't only have the light of Hashem, you have Hashem himself. Are we clear? Any questions or comments? So this leads to a very interesting symbiosis. Symbiosis means a relationship where everybody benefits from everybody else. Klas, kishlinis, kashron, dobada. I should have put this in, I didn't. There are three knots that are tied to each other, right? One of the three knots. Yisrael is kashron, ve'raisa. Yidna connected to the Teira. Ve'raisa, b'kuchavrichu, and Teira is connected to the Eibishter. Does anybody know how to count? How many knots is that? Two. So how come the Zayis says Klas Kishinin? The answer is because it's a circle, like in the recycling image visualization. A Yid without the Torah will never know he's a Jew. We need the Torah. Not we need the Torah to make us Jewish. We need the Torah to discover our Jewishness. What is a Yid? A Yid Chelek HaMimal Mamish. What is Ayid? Ayid is Atav HaChatanim Kolam, the chosen nations, the Eibishter amongst all nations of the world, and he chose also the Guf, not just the Neshama. If Ayid doesn't have Torah and Mitzvah, he doesn't appreciate what he is. So we need Torah Oyer We need the light of Torah to illuminate our identity as Jews. We need Chachmas Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We need the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make us understand what a Yid is. But after the Torah connects a Yid to the Eibishter, the Yid discovers that there's more Yid, there's more Eibishter in the Yid than there ever was in the Torah. A Yid has inside of himself not the light of Hashem or the wisdom of Hashem, but the essence of Hashem. But the essence of Hashem is hidden. So step one, the Yid's connection to the Eibishter has to have the Torah. The Torah illuminates, it shines in the life of a Yid and reveals to a Yid what he is. But once a Yid discovers and values what it means to be a Jew, that he's the servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the soulsman of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chosen of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so forth, the roles reverse. Now it's not the Torah connecting a Yid to the Eibishter, but a Yid is connecting the Torah to the Eibishter. Why? Because Torah by itself is only a Yid. Torah by itself is only Ha'ara. Torah by itself is only Chachma. And a Yid adds to the Torah the Yid of essence. So there's three knots. Knot number one, a Yid connected to the Torah. Knot number two, through the Torah the Yid is connected to the Eibishter. And knot number three, once the Yid discovers that he's connected to the Eibishter, the Yid gives something back to the Torah. Because the Torah by itself is only Ha'or, only Oyer. And through a Yid, the Torah has the Ma'ila of essence. And this is what we're now going to be exploring. The topic that we're going to currently embark on is this interface, the meeting between Torah and Neshamas Yisrael. How on the outside, Torah reveals the Eibishter. And Neshamas Yisrael conceal the Eibishter. It could be even against the Eibishter, as the Sibim Tzi is. But on the inside, a Yid has the Eibishter inside of himself, and Torah is only reflecting Hashem. So initially, we're Jewish because the Eir HaTorah makes us discover our Jewishness. And ultimately, the revolves are reversed. And instead of the Torah illuminating our lives, we connect the Torah to the Eibishter. And I want you to know that the way this syllabus is prepared at the moment is later on we're going to be talking about Tefillah, and about Torah, and about Mitzvahs. And in each case, or at least some of these cases, we're going to go through this process each time. How initially Torah connects you to the Eibishter, then you connect Torah to the Eibishter. Initially, mitzvahs connect you to the Eibishter, and ultimately you connect the mitzvahs to the Eibishter. There's mitzvah Havaya and there's mitzvah Isai. There's Torah Havaya and there's Torah Isai. There's a lot of different aspects to this. Or in the Lashon HaGemara, there's two madregas. The lower madrega is called Adaita Denafshei. I learned Torah new mitzvahs for me. And the higher madrega is Lishma. I learned Torah new mitzvahs for the Torah and the mitzvah's sake. Daita de nafshe is to teira mitzvah, I come connected to the Eibishter. And lishma is by me learning teira, me doing mitzvahs, I'm doing the teira a favor, I'm doing the mitzvahs a favor, I'm adding the teira mitzvahs to my love atzmos.
Why is that lishma? Shouldn't lishma be just doing it for Hashem?
Lishma means for her sake. You speak Hebrew?
No, I'm not.
Huh?
No, not really. I mean, like, no.
Because if it meant the Eibishter, would say lishmoy. Lishma means for her. Her is lashon nekev, goes on the teira. You're learning Torah to do Torah a favor. Torah needs you to learn her. And the answer is yeah. Because Torah by itself is only Eir. That's Torah infinite. And by the way, the dogma for this, I'm not going to go into the bariches, are the mitzvahs that Rabbanan. And particularly those things that we add to Yiddishkeit that have to do with Mesiris Nefesh, Rechanek and Purim. They're not in the Torah. The Torah doesn't advocate that kind of Mesiris Nefesh. A Jew does. I mean, I've told you there can't be a Chanukah, I mean, I tell you there can't be a Purim, because the Mesiris Nefesh of Chanukah and Purim is higher than Torah. Torah says you have to live. Torah says there's a limit to how much you give of yourself to the Eibishter. Only a Yid says there's no limit to how much you give to the Eibishter. Why? Because the Yid is one with the Eibishter. The reason Chanukah and Purim are midrabanan, because Chanukah and Purim are Mesiris Nefesh, that doesn't fit in the Torah, it only fits in the Shamas Yisrael. And the Shamas Yisrael added to the Torah. Okay, so today's class was a Shalom Aleichem. It was an overview. I hope I was clear. I really hope I was clear.